Luke chapter number 10. I don't normally title my messages, but if I was going to title this message tonight, I would call it The Other Side of the Road. The Other Side of the Road. As we go through life, there are always people on the other side of the road. And those people on the other side of the road always have needs. They always have spiritual needs. Many times they have physical needs, emotional needs. When we talk about these people on the other side of the road, we're not necessarily talking about people who literally live across from your house, your neighbors, but we're talking about people with whom we have contact, neighbors, coworkers, perhaps relatives, family members, friends, and there's always someone on the other side of the road, even people we meet when we're out and about doing our daily business. And it's easy to ignore the people that are on the other side of the road. It's easy to get busy with what we're doing and taking care of our schedule and fulfilling the things that we need to do. And we forget about the other people on the other side of the road. Now, it's not a bad thing to be busy. It's not a bad thing to be focused on the responsibilities that we have. But sometimes that causes us to miss opportunities that we might have to minister to other people. And sometimes we need to slow down and look around a little bit and see these people that are on the other side of the road. Instead of loving people, oftentimes we ignore people on the other side of the road. Not because we want to ignore them necessarily, but we're just busy. But that hurts us sometimes. If we slow down, if we look around us a little bit, we will see people who have needs, real needs, needs that we can perhaps help meet. And God can give us opportunities to reach out to these people and help them, encourage them, and hopefully share the gospel with them. Jesus has an interesting conversation with a lawyer here in Luke chapter 10. And Jesus tells this man a story about the Good Samaritan who went to the other side of the road to help someone he saw there. Luke chapter 10, let's start reading in verse number 25. And it says, in verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can look at your word for a few minutes tonight. I pray that you would challenge us and help us to slow down from the busyness of our lives and look around and see people on the other side of the road. And help us understand that you want to use each one of us to help meet the needs of the people that are around us and have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. We thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing we see in this narrative is a question. The question. In verse 25, this lawyer comes to Jesus, and it says he tempted him. He was trying to trap Jesus Christ by asking him this question. But Jesus turned it back around on the lawyer, and he trapped him by answering with another question. This man probably was not trying to learn something from Christ, but rather he was challenging him. It says that he stood up and tempted him, saying, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What can I do to get eternal life?" Now, first of all, this question is all wrong. This man was asking, what do I have to do to get saved? What do I have to do to get eternal life? Many people today have the same mindset. They say, what do I have to do to get to heaven? What do I have to do to please God? What do I have to do to be saved? People want to work their way to heaven. Someone once said there are only two religions in this world. There's the religion of people who think you must do works to get to heaven. And then there's the people who believe that the work has already been done on the cross by Jesus Christ. And everybody today falls into one of those two categories. But most people think, what do I have to do to get to heaven? Eternal life is not something that can be earned. It's not something that can be bought. It's not something that can be gained by being good enough. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Titus 3:5. We cannot do enough good things to earn salvation. We cannot gain salvation by outweighing our bad deeds with our good deeds. If it were possible to do enough good things to get to heaven, then we could boast and we could say, hey, look at what I've done. Look at how good I am. I earned my way to heaven because I'm such a great person. I earned my ticket into heaven. I'm good. I'm so good that God likes me, so He's got to let me into heaven. All right? That's not how it works. And by the way, how does someone ever know if they do enough good things to please God to get into heaven? They can't. How would you know? There's no scale. But the Bible says it's by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we understand that truth, that salvation is not by works, but it's by Christ alone, and believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth that Christ is Lord. This lawyer comes to Christ and says, what can I do to inherit this eternal life? What can I do to get saved? He was going about it all wrong. Now Jesus answered the man by asking him another question. Verse number 26. Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Now this man was an educated lawyer. He was someone who knew much of the Old Testament by heart. And so he quickly spouted off this answer. In verse number 27, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now Jesus sends this man back to the Old Testament law. He said, what does the law say? What do you read in the law? He sends him back to the Old Testament law, not because the law could save him, but because the law is what shows us that we need to be saved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. If it weren't for the law of God, we would never know that we were breaking His commandments. We would never know that we are guilty before God. And so we would never understand that we need to be saved. We find out that we cannot keep the law. When we know what the law says, we understand that we have broken the law and we need someone else to save us. So this lawyer, he quoted part of the law to Jesus. He said, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. Now, it's not humanly possible to completely obey the Old Testament law all the time. That's why Christ had to come. He had to come so we could be saved. No one could perfectly keep all 600 plus commandments in the Old Testament and be good enough to get to heaven. That's why Christ had to die on the cross, so that we could be saved. It's impossible to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves because of our flesh. I don't know about you, but it's always a struggle to love God completely. We can't, because we are human and we get distracted. Our focus gets off of Christ. And so Jesus uses this quotation from the Old Testament to help the man realize that he could not obey the law completely and that he needed to be saved. Now look at verse number 28. He said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Now the man gave the right answer to Christ, but he didn't apply it to himself. He didn't admit his lack of love for God and for his neighbor. And so he tried to justify himself. Look at verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus has just said, love your neighbor as yourself. And the man, I can, in my imagination, I imagine him saying it like this. Well, tell me who my neighbor is, and I'll love him. All right? Tell me who my neighbor is, and I will love him. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Because he was trying to justify himself. He was trying to say, well, do you tell me who my neighbor is, and I'll go love that person and forget about everyone else. I'll go love that person enough, and you can accept me into heaven. Perhaps that was his mindset. I don't know. But he was trying to start a debate with Christ. And Jesus simply began to tell him a story that would convict this man. The question is, who is my neighbor? Secondly, we see the illustration. We see an illustration that Jesus gives to this man. And Jesus tells him a story to illustrate who his neighbor was and how we should love them. Look at verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Now, this man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and this road wound through the mountains and through the desert for about 25 kilometers. It was a very dangerous area where a lot of robbers and thieves would hide out and attack the travelers as they passed by. And that's exactly what happened to this man. It says that the thieves stripped him of his clothes, they wounded him, they beat him up, and they departed. They left him half dead. They left him to die. Now, this man clearly needed help. And anyone passing by, if they saw that man, would know, hey, that guy is in trouble. He needs some help. And he definitely could not get up by himself and go to a place where he could get help and get attention. He was helpless. He was abandoned. And it says he was half dead. He was probably dying. Now, a second character comes on the scene here as Jesus tells this story. And by the way, I believe this is probably an actual occurrence because it says a certain man went down. And in verse 31, it says a certain priest went by. In verse 33, it says a certain Samaritan. And so this is probably a real event that occurred, not just a parable. But in verse 31, we see the passing priest. The passing priest. Verse 31 says, "By chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Now, this priest was one who had the responsibility of ministering in the temple. His job, his calling, was supposed to be ministering to other people. But it says he passed by on the other side of the road. This priest was completely indifferent. He was unconcerned about this helpless man. He ignored the obvious needs, and he stayed on the opposite side of the road. Now, we can make up some excuses for the indifference of this priest. We could say, well, maybe he'd been ministering to people all day, and he's got to travel down to Jericho. Maybe he's tired. Maybe he's on his way home. Maybe he's going to see someone. Maybe he's in a hurry, and he's got to get to a meeting. Maybe he's running late. We don't know. We can make up those excuses, but the fact is, he ignored the man that was hurt, and he passed by on the other side of the road. Look at verse 32. Here we see the looking Levite. Verse 32, "Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, but passed by on the other side." Now, all priests were Levites. They were from the tribe of Levi, but not all Levites were priests. Some of them were assistants in the temple and helped the other priests in the temple worship. We don't know who this man was. But it says, when this Levite came walking down the road, he saw this man who was hurt and helpless and abandoned. He even went over to the man and looked at him. All right? But he too passed by on the other side of the road. He was somewhat interested. He might have been curious about this man, but he didn't make any kind of effort in the least to help this man. He didn't even give him a drink of water. Undoubtedly, he saw that this man was hurt, that he was dying, that he was in trouble, but all he did was look and leave. Maybe he was afraid that the thieves were still lurking nearby in the bushes and that they would come out and attack him as well. We don't know, but he also ignored the man and he went on his way on the other side of the road. It was easy for the priest, it was easy for the Levite to stay on their side of the road. Their side of the road was comfortable. It was clean. It was safe. Their side of the road was convenient. Just keep going. Just get to where I need to be. It's not pleasant to bind up someone's wounds. It's not pleasant to witness other people's trouble and their suffering. It's not always pleasant to try to help people when they're having problems. Sometimes it costs time. Sometimes it costs a little bit of money to help others. It costs something to go to someone who is hurt and try to help them. It takes effort to invest yourself into someone else when you know they'll never be able to repay you. It takes time. It takes effort. And it goes against our selfish nature. This priest and this Levite were people who were supposed to minister to others. But the Bible says they passed by on the other side of the road. They ignored the problem and continued on their way. But then in verse 33, we see the serving Samaritan. Verse number 33, it says, "But in contrast, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him." Now here we see a Samaritan. The Samaritan people and the Jewish people were enemies. The Jews looked down upon the Samaritans. They were outcasts. They were hated by the Jews. But this man ignored the political correctness of the day, and he went out of his way to help someone who hated him. He went out of his way to help this Jewish person who was in trouble. This Samaritan loved those who hated him. In verse 33, it says he came to where he was. He went to the man. He didn't tell the man, "Hey, stand up and come over to this side of the road and then I'll help you." He didn't say, "You got to come to where I am and then I'll give you something or then I'll help you." But he went to where the man was in his trouble, in his problem, and had compassion on him and tried to do something about the needs that he saw. This Samaritan noticed the wounded man. He went to where he was and he had compassion. Now, when we talk about compassion, most of the time we think of feeling sorry for someone. Someone's going through a difficult time in life and we say, "Hey, brother, I feel sorry for you. I have compassion, but that's about as far as it goes." That's not what the Bible's talking about when it talks about compassion. Compassion is doing something for someone else at your own expense, when it's inconvenient, when it costs you something. Compassion is not just feeling sorry for someone, but it's doing something to help meet the needs that you see in their life. Compassion is love in action. Compassion is showing the love of Christ to others. Love in action. Verse 34, we see how this man had compassion. It says, "He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. He set him on his own beast, and he carried him to an inn and took care of him." This good Samaritan sacrificed some of his own possessions. He definitely took time out of his day to stop and help this person. In that day and time, they would take oil and wine and mix them together and use them as an ointment to cleanse the wounds. And he cleansed his wounds and bandaged him. But he didn't just leave him there to walk home. All right, he set him up on his horse or his donkey, and he took him and took him to the inn. He sacrificed his own comfort to help this man. Now he had to walk the rest of the way down this dusty mountain road and make some effort to help this person. That is love in action. That is true compassion. That is showing the love of Christ when it costs you something. He took him to an inn where they could spend the night. Look at verse 35. It says, "On the morrow, the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." So the next day, the good Samaritan gives the innkeeper 2 days' wages to take care of the man. The Samaritan had risked his own life. He didn't know if the thieves had still been nearby and would ambush him as well. He spent his own money. He took time. He probably could have gotten to where he was going that night, but he stopped and he helped this man and he continued his journey the next day. He was helping this man whom he did not even know. This good Samaritan even told the innkeeper, "Hey, here's some extra money to help to take care of this man." And he said, "If you've got to spend more money than what I've given you to help that man, just let me know the next time I come through and I'll pay you for that as well." This Samaritan had mercy on this man who was injured. He showed sympathy. He was compassionate. This Samaritan could have passed by on the other side of the road, just like the priest, just like the Levite. He could have ignored the problem. But this Samaritan was a servant. He showed love to someone he knew that looked down upon it. He showed compassion on someone that probably wouldn't even care about him. He helped someone who could never repay him. What a wonderful example of mercy and of compassion and of showing Christ's love this Samaritan demonstrated. By the way, there are many hospitals that have been named after the Good Samaritan because he showed compassion, because he showed mercy and helped someone who needed help. Now remember, Jesus is telling this story to the lawyer who said, I must love my neighbor as myself. And the lawyer said, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who am I supposed to love so greatly? And Jesus presented this story to illustrate a powerful truth. So number three, we see the lesson. What was the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach to this man? What is the lesson that we can learn from this passage? Look at verse 36. Jesus said, which now of these three, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Jesus asked the lawyer a question to which there is only one answer. Which person, the priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan, which one of those three was a neighbor to this man that got hurt? Look at verse 37, and we see his answer. He said, he that showed mercy on him. Now notice the man could not bring himself to say it was the Good Samaritan because he hated the Samaritans, all right? Cultural difference there. He could not bring himself to say it was the Samaritan who was a neighbor to that man. He simply said, the one who showed mercy. He couldn't believe that a Samaritan who is despised and rejected by the Jews would stop and help a Jew when the religious people of the day wouldn't touch the man. Now, we need to ask ourselves a question at this point as well. Which of these three, when we see someone on the other side of the road, which of these three are we? Are we like the priest that passes by? Are we like the Levite that goes and looks and is curious and comes over but then keeps going? Or are we like the Samaritan who shows compassion on the person, helps and tries to meet the need, even goes to great expense and spends some time to help someone who has a need? Which of those three are we? The big question here should not be, who is my neighbor? But the real question is, to whom can I be a neighbor? Who can I help? Who can I be a good Samaritan to? Who is on the other side of the road in my life that has a need that I see, that I can do something about? Who is on the other side of the road? And this is not simply talking about the person that lives next door to us, but God wants us to be a neighbor in that sense to everyone. God wants us to have compassion on the lost. God wants us to see people who have a need of Christ and try to reach out to them and help them and give them the gospel. God wants us to show mercy. God wants us to help those who need help. And if we've been born again, we should love others because God loved us first. If we are saved, we should forgive because God has forgiven us. We should show compassion on the lost because Christ showed compassion on us when we were lost. We should have the compassion of God and show that compassion, that love in action to others. We can have an effect on someone's life. We can reach someone with the gospel. Let's think about this way as well. Before we trusted Christ as our Savior, we were like the man on the side of the road who was hurt. Okay? We were helpless. Because of sin, our lives were ruined. We were left to die in our sin. Religion couldn't help us. Philosophy couldn't help us. Man's efforts couldn't help us. But then Jesus Christ came by. And praise God, he didn't go by on the other side of the road. He stopped. He had compassion. He came and shed his blood on the cross so that we could be saved. He picked us up. He bound up our wounds. He took us. He paid the price to redeem us from our sin. And praise God for his compassion and his love and his mercy that he showed on us. Jesus is saying we should show that same kind of compassion to others. Who is on the other side of the road in our life? In verse 37, the lawyer said, "He that showed mercy on him," but then said Jesus to him, "Go and do thou likewise." Jesus told this man, go and show mercy. Go and be compassionate, just like the Samaritan did. Now to the thieves, this man who was traveling on the road that day, he was a victim to exploit. So they attacked him and robbed him. To the priest, to the Levite, he was a nuisance to avoid. So they ignored the problem and kept on going. But to the Samaritan, he was a neighbor who had a need. He was a neighbor to love and to help. And so he took care of him. And what Jesus said to that lawyer applies to us as well. Go and do thou likewise. God wants us to show the compassion of God and the love of God to others. How many people are there around us that are on the other side of the road that have some kind of need? No matter who it is on the other side of the road, we need to show them God's love and have mercy and try to reach them with the gospel. A couple of weeks ago, I met some people that were on the other side of the road. Pastor Seeley and myself were out hunting, moose hunting, and we met these two fellows in Harbor Deep. Long ways away from here. Long ways away from where you would ever expect to have a conversation with someone about spiritual things. These two guys were staying in another cabin near where we were, and we saw them a couple times throughout that week, and we talked with them about hunting and the weather, a little bit about politics, all the regular stuff, chit-chatting. In a little bit, eventually, we talked about church. They found out that what we did. And we had a few interesting conversations with those two men. And come to find out, one of them lives in Twillingate, near Twillingate. And the other one lives right here in St. John's. And he's a retired fisherman. And this man that lives here in St. John's loves his moose dinner. So we invited him to come on Friday night to the fellowship meeting in Carbonear, to the moose dinner. And I called him on Tuesday to remind him of that, and he said, yeah, I'd love to come. And so he came, showed up on Friday night. It was a great blessing to see him come. And we sat down together, we ate some moose together. We heard a gospel message preached by Brother Joe Martin. And by the way, the MP and the MHA and two local mayors were at the meeting. And so they all heard a gospel message. What a blessing. There was also a lot of other unsaved people from the community there in Carbonear. But anyway, this man, he wants to get together again with me sometime, probably later this week. Wants to sit down and have a coffee together. And he has some real needs. And of course, his greatest need is to trust Christ as his Savior. He knows a lot about the Bible, but I don't think he knows Christ as his Savior. So pray for me as I try to build a relationship with him, but pray for him. His name is Ford, and he lives right here in St. John's. Pray for Ford that he would trust Christ. And all of this came about because we went across the road, literally, the other side of the road to the other cabin, and talked to these two fellows. And you never know what kind of opportunities God might open up if we're just willing to allow God to use us. There's a lot of people on the other side of the road. Right here in St. John's. What is it? 200,000 people? Something like that? I forget. There's a lot of people on the other side of the road. There are a lot of people on the other side of the road at Memorial University. Lord willing, we're going to start an outreach there in January. So be in prayer for that as well. But there's a lot of people on the other side of the road in the office where you work. Or in the classroom where you sit. Or there's people on the other side of the road among your relatives. There's people on the other side of the road all over this island, all over the world. And they all have needs. And the most important need is that they hear the gospel and trust Christ. How can we have an effect on them? Well, we need to build relationships with them. We need to try to have an opportunity to share the love of God and the compassion of God with the lost. We must have compassion and help them. We must not simply walk by on the other side of the road. We must not simply look and then keep on going. But we must stop and have compassion and try to have an influence and effect on someone's life. God can use you to bring people to Christ. God can use me. God can use anyone who is willing to be used. If we show people the love of God by showing them that we care, God can do great things through us. What an amazing privilege it is that God would want to use us in such a way. But we have to do it. We have to be willing. We have to allow God to use us. May God help us to be looking for people on the other side of the road. And may God use us in a great way to bring others to Christ. Let's pray as we close the service tonight. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful once again that we can gather to worship you tonight. Lord, there's many people on the other side of the road, right here in our neighborhoods, in our classrooms, in our workplaces, in this city of St. John's, all over the island, in Stephenville, and even all around the world. There are people who have real needs, spiritual needs. And Lord, you've equipped each one of us as Christians and given us opportunities to try to reach out to the lost. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be like the Good Samaritan who showed compassion. He didn't just walk by like the priest and the Levite, but he stopped and he put his love into action and did something to help this man. Lord, I pray that that would be our mindset as we go about our business this week. Help us to see other people on the other side of the road. Help us to be aware of the spiritual needs or physical needs even that they may have. And help us to have a burden to do something to help reach them with the gospel. Lord, we're so thankful for your love. We're so thankful for the privilege. We're so thankful for the desire that you have to use each one of us. But help us be willing to be used. Help us be willing to look and go across the other side of the road to where these people are and try to reach them with the gospel. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymnal and turn to number 648 tonight. We'll stand as we sing. Number 648, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Maybe God has laid someone specific on your heart tonight as you listen to God's word. Why don't you come and make these steps an altar and ask God to give you opportunities to reach out to them. As we sing 648, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart.
I Thank you.